This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. We have got a great show for you tonight. We kind of adjusted the weeks. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we've been on, but I wanted to be lined up for our next pay-per-view, which of course is this Sunday, and we're going to talk about that. Actually, we're going to talk about a couple pay-per-views, actually, as Ring of Honor has one on Friday night. So as you're listening to this, it'll probably be tonight. And then, of course, on Sunday is Night of Champions, which will be live from the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. And actually, we got two Texas shows because we have the Ring of Honor show is in Texas as well. So we'll talk about that, too. And then I'm trying to kind of read, unlike Raw, which is pretty much the same show for 35 years, trying to snazz up Main Event. So you're going to see over the coming weeks and the coming episodes, you're going to see some little wrinkles thrown in to make Main Event a little different. And the first wrinkle comes tonight, and all three of our panelists this evening already know the wrinkle. But let me bring them in. First off, one of the old core four, one of my favorite people on the planet, who will be getting a gift from me in the mail, hopefully soon. I'll tell him what it is during the break as a surprise, so he doesn't think it's weird pictures or something, or something that needs to be signed and sent back. The conscience of Place to Be Nation, Mr. Steve Willey.
Weird pictures. I don't even know where to go with that.
Yeah, pictures of, you know, cheeseburger or cheeks.
Probably like a team picture of the 1969 Mets telling my Cubs to suck it.
Hell yeah. That's right. Suck it, Ron Santo. No. No. Steve, always a pleasure, man. And yes, we'll have a good. I'll tell you during the break what you're getting. I don't want you to be too freaked out, surprised. So, next up, one of my favorite people on the planet from North Kakalaki, although he'll always be a New Yorker at heart, and I love having him on any show that I host, Mr. Jason Greenhouse. What's up, Greeny?
What's up, man? Always New Yorker at heart, absolutely.
Hell
you know,
yeah.
I haven't spoken to you guys in a while. I feel like I woke up in 1988. Sting is number one contender for the world heavyweight title, and the Mets are 20 games above 500. What the hell is going on?
I know, and the Yankees are only mediocre. Where's Al Pulido?
Really?
Where's Kevin Moss?
Matt Noakes.
Greeny, you're the best. Thanks for coming on, man. And another guy who, my God, I always pray that a night is open for me to have this guy on. He is the co-host of the Kings of Sport, and the only guy who only slightly chuckles and takes very seriously when I do the TNA LOLs. And maybe he knows about cheeks or puppet. The Godfather, Nate Milton. What's up, Godfather?
What is going on, brother? Yes, cheeks is one of the most influential characters in TNA history. And so I'd like everybody to go and Google cheeks and read up on this man. But it's great to be back on the Main Event. This is kind of the home stretch of my marathon week of podcast. This is show 7 in, I believe, 3 nights. So I'm glad to bring it home here on PTBN.
What? This is your 7th show in 3 days? That's not even a Chad and Parv schedule. My God.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just because I love talking about sports and wrestling, or if I'm just a glutton for punishment, probably somewhere in between.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Greeny, you're talking about turning back the clock. A lot of times in the background, I'll play something on my TV just to kind of, you know, so it's not too lonely in Studio A. But usually there's a guy on YouTube who created playlists of various, me being a Laker fan, Lakers past playoff games. So I randomly picked one tonight. And speaking of 1987-88, Magic Johnson is taking his 1987 NBA MVP trophy right now as the Lakers are playing. Remember the Seattle Supersonics? Remember them? Don't we miss them? In the Western Conference Finals. So there you go, Greeny. Now I'm just going completely full circle. Next thing you know, we'll be watching the premiere of the Wonder Years. So
we'll throw on some Debbie Gibson videos.
That's
later.
Right.
Electric Youth.
Hey, Jason Herbie ties into TNA.
That's so right. That'll work.
Full circle here on Main Event.
Oh God! All right, guys, it's gonna be a fun night. So yes, two big events happening over the next few days. Of course, the big one we'll talk about a little bit later on. That is, of course, Night of Champions on Sunday night, again from the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. But on Friday night is a show that Steve Willey, you and I kind of saw the makings of when we were in Brooklyn a few weeks ago. This is Ring of Honor's All-Star Extravaganza 7, which will take place tomorrow night or tonight, probably tonight, depending when you hear this, from the San Antonio Shrine Auditorium in San Antonio, Texas. I believe Will, from, of course, past Main Events and the Dangerous Alliance podcast, I believe will be there. Here are your matches. We'll talk about it very quickly. The main event for the ROH World Heavyweight Championship, Jay Lethal, your champion, will take on one half of Red Dragon, and that is Kyle O'Reilly. By the way, I will get all these names right because I don't see any Japanese guys here, so I think we're okay. By the way, Jay Lethal, kind of like Jay Lethal, two guys kind of mirroring each other this weekend, guys. Jay Lethal and Seth Rollins, both with belts, defending both of them against different guys. So also, probably earlier in the night, Jay Lethal will defend the television title against the other member of Red Dragon, Bobby Fish. Now, wait a minute. Willie, didn't we watch a Battle Royal where, what's his face? Japanese guy whose name I'll probably blow. Who?
Watanabe.
Oh, yeah, Watanabe. He won the Battle Royal. We watched it live. We were there, right? I'm pretty sure we were there. Wasn't that supposed to be for this title or this at this show?
I think it might be the TV taping the next night.
Oh, okay.
So he will get the – I think he gets the winner of the Fish Lethal match.
Okay. All right. So that's clear now. All right. So the TV tapings on Saturday is when Watanabe will get his TV title shot. Okay. So each member of Red Dragon will get a chance at gold. Bobby Fish for the TV title and Kyle O'Reilly for the world title. The number one contenders match, fatal four-way, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, Michael Elgin, AJ Styles. That'll be a fun match. I have a feeling that'll be match of the night. Although this one might be the match of the night, too. For the tag team titles, man, I can't believe I'm going to miss this. What a three-way. The Addiction, love these guys, of course, Daniels and Frankie Kay, taking on the Young Bucks and the Kingdom with, of course, Maria. That match is going to be pretty badass. Open challenge tag team match, Jay and Mark, the Briscoes, against a mystery opponent. Best of five series match number three, Matt Sydal taking on ACH. What's the series right now, Willie? Do you know?
It's 1-1.
I figured as much. I thought somebody was up 2-0 and then somebody was going to win 3 in a row or whatever. In a no DQ match, man, oh, this is right up Armento's alley. Cedric Alexander and Moose in a no DQ match. And then the boys versus Silas Young becoming a boy. Dalton Castle with the boys versus pro wrestling's last real man, Silas Young. And, of course, you can get that on pay-per-view. Is it on DirecTV? I don't believe it is.
It should be. It's on Dish Network.
I don't see DirecTV here. Oh, at the bottom. These are all cable. Okay, yes. So you can get it on DirecTV. It's probably $30 or $25, I would imagine. All right, let's talk quickly about this. The two title matches, Willie, what do you think? I have a feeling Red Dragon wins neither. What do you think?
That's what I'm thinking, too. The storyline that's been going through, once Jay Lethal won both belts, he had said that he was going to defend them both at the same time, even on the same show, really confident, but now everyone is gunning for him, and so he's starting to get a little paranoid. So my hope, and I think it might have been Chad and I talking about this at the end of last year, after Final Battle, that AJ Styles should be winning the title at the end of Final Battle. And it could happen if he wins that number one contenders match. That might be where they're going, like a Lethal AJ Styles match.
Mm, which would be pretty awesome.
It would be.
Yeah. What do you think, Godfather? Does do either Red Dragon guys have a shot here?
No, I think you'll have obviously two great matches, but I think it's too soon for Jay to drop either of the belts. And you alluded to the WWE champion being in a similar situation. And I don't want to start this show off too controversial, brother, but I just find it funny. This continues in the great tradition, much like rock and roll and twerking, of things that a black guy did first that a white guy kind of does and co-op second. But I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to leave it. No further comment. I'm just going to leave it out there. but I do agree, though. I think ultimately this is going to lead to Lethal and Styles, which is amazing. You know, and yep. I'm a little behind on my ROH viewing, so I'll probably catch this show sometime midweek next week. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can do in the two title matches to not only put on good matches, but to put on different matches.
Mm. It will be. What do you think, Greeny? Can they put? Can I mean? Obviously, Lethal is very talented, but we haven't seen Fish and O'Reilly in singles work too often. I mean, they've pretty much been joined at the hip as Red Dragon for the last what 3 years, 2.5 years since I guess O'Reilly turned heel on I think it was Davey Richards. Do you think there'll be two different kinds of matches? What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're both of them are talented enough that they can both give different matches for Lethal. I'm a little bit out of the loop on Ring of Honor myself, but just reading up on stuff and knowing who everybody is, yeah, I think that they can both give Lethal a different match. Lethal is talented enough that he could also work both their styles.
Mm.
So I think the card's going to be really, really good.
Mm. I think so, too. It's actually a pretty stacked show. Do the Addiction keep the tag straps, Willie?
Man, if Lethal's going to keep both, Yeah, I think so. Possibly the Kingdom winning it. I don't think the Bucks will, just because they're kind of in and out all the time. They're not on every show. So if anybody wins, it's going to be the Kingdom. And they have split with Adam Cole, so it's just Taven and Bennett.
Bennett, right. Okay. And, of course, Cole is in that number one contenders match. So we're guessing that Styles wins the number one contenders match? You think, Willie?
That's what I think. That's what I think.
All right.
Roderick's already had two shots at it over the last 2 months or so.
Okay.
I don't think anyone wants to see Elgin win. And, yeah. His star has fallen very quickly in the last year and a half, I'd say.
Yeah, and very weird. And Cole, obviously, former ROH champion. I don't know if he'll get back on the horse. Maybe he will at some point. So, all right. So, yeah, there's a quick rundown. We'll run down the card again. Jay Lethal will defend both championships against each member of Red Dragon. Bobby Fish gets the world TV title shot. Kyle O'Reilly gets the world title shot. Number one contenders match, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, Michael Elgin, and AJ Styles. The Addiction will defend the tag titles in a triple threat against the Young Bucks and the Kingdom. The Briscoes have an open challenge tag. What do you think it is, Willie?
I have no idea, to be quite honest. I don't even have the slightest idea.
World's greatest tag team?
Ooh. It might be someone from, you know, New Japan.
Mm. I'm
trying to think who else, you know, Roppongi Vice, I don't know.
Interesting. I don't know if they do an open challenge and have like a stinker. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be pretty much get them booed. Maybe someone local, someone from Texas. Well, is Haas from Texas? Or is he Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Haas from Oklahoma. I was about to say Haas from New Jersey, but he went to school in New Jersey.
He went to Seton Hall, yeah.
Seton Hall, yep.
He's a pirate. Boy, they could use him on the basketball team right now. They suck. Game three, match three of the best of five, ACH and Matt Sydal. Cedric Alexander and Moose in a no DQ. And it'll be Dalton Castle against pro wrestling's last real man, Silas Young. So there you go. And I don't know the price. Probably.
It's 35. They dropped it down 10 bucks.
Okay. So 35 bucks. Friday night, the 18th, tonight, if you're listening to the show, because it'll be posted late this evening. So. And there you go. So check it out. And I'm sure that on the next Kevin Kelly show with Kevin will give you a nice recap next Monday, this coming Monday. So he'll probably give you a nice recap. So there you go. All right. Let's talk proper about our big show on Sunday from Houston and Toyota Center. And that is, of course, Night of Champions. Interesting card. Let's run it down. Of course, as we mentioned, WWE being a day late and a dollar short, their champion is doing two things in one night. Thanks, Nate, for ruining everything. And Wikipedia. You know what? Google Chrome sucks too, Grainy. For some reason, I can't get anything to type.
I have the card in front of me if you need it.
Yeah, go ahead. Fire off the card for us. What is Night of Champions?
Main event, Seth Rollins taking on Sting for the World Heavyweight title. United States title will be Seth Rollins taking on John Cena. Six-man tag with the Wyatt family taking on Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and a mystery partner. Nikki Bella taking on Charlotte for the Divas title. Intercontinental title, Ryback taking on Kevin Owens. Dolph Ziggler against Rusev. New Day taking on the Dudleys. And the kickoff show will be the Lucha Dragons and Neville against the Ascension and Stardust.
Mr. Godfather, how do you think the build has been so far in general for leading up to this show since SummerSlam?
I would say the build overall has been much like a table that one leg is a little bit shorter than the others. It still can stand and it still can function, but it's a bit off. It's a bit uneven. It's a bit shaky. That's the way I felt with this build, particularly when it comes to the main event match, Sting and Seth Rollins, because the stuff that we got this past Monday on Raw, I wish that's what they would have given us for the past 4 weeks, where you're telling the audience the history of Sting, where you're re-educating some people and maybe educating some new people for the first time, where we're building up the importance of this and portraying Sting as a credible threat instead of doing all the stupid stuff the weeks before with the statue, which I felt just made Sting look silly, made Rollins look silly, made the title look silly, and took away from what the focus should be. It's a simple story that they tried to get too cute with, but I'm glad they kind of got back to basics on Monday. As for the rest of the card, outside of the Cena match and the Divas match, there's not a lot I'm really amped about. Like, I think the six-man could be intriguing. I'm off the Rusev and Dolph Ziggler train. Just the whole love story is gone cold for me, cold fish, you could say. And the Stardust stuff, like I'm like I don't know what the hell is going on with Cody. So I'd say if I was going to give it a number grade, I'd give the build to this probably a 6.5 maybe out of 10.
Okay, what do you think, Greeny?
Well, it's that time of year where everything dies off a little bit, and we have that slow ride into Survivor Series, and then it starts inclining again up to the Royal Rumble. This is the time of year where they need somebody to step up to be a number one contender, and they really don't have anybody. So that's why you need to turn to somebody like Sting. The number one contender and the WWE champion fighting over a statue, the feud being over a statue, is a little off. I think Sting is going to surprise a lot of people, and it's not going to be a 5-star match, but I think he can go a good 15-18 minutes with Rollins and give him a decent match. Everything else, it's just kind of there. I have no interest in the Rusev and Ziggler stuff. Poor Rusev. I mean, look at him 6 months ago.
I know.
The biggest monster heel in the business next to Lesnar at the time. It's great to have the Dudleys back. New Day is the best thing on TV today. So that's been very entertaining. And everything else is just it's just there. Charlotte and Nikki could be okay. You know, they gave a little sample of what they can do in the ring together on Monday. I thought Nikki had a little bit of a problem selling some of Charlotte's moves. It could have just been me. But we'll see what happens with that. Owens, people were bitching that he's being pushed down the card and stuff. Hey, he's getting a title shot. So, what else do you want?
Right. And I think he's going to win. When I look at the card up and down and I see all five titles on the line, I think on paper the card is laid out for what could be a pretty fun show. On top of the five title matches and the mystery partner of Ambrose and Reigns against the Wyatt family, Bray, Luke, and Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, maybe he'll piss for 12 minutes like Ogre did in the sequel. So I think on paper this, I think the match that's going to be on the pre-show I mean, that match might be even better than it could be, could outdo anything that's on the card itself. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the tags for a minute. Dudleys are back. Got a bitchin' pop in Brooklyn, although that was no surprise. I do think they're going to win the belts eventually. Not sure if they'll win it Sunday. But I do have a feeling that they are due to win the titles. Do they win it Sunday night, Nate? Or is this kind of building to some, to them eventually winning, or is the Dudleys here strictly to put New Day over?
I think they're going to win it eventually. I'm not sure if it's going to be Sunday, but you get to a point, and I think Greeny alluded to this, the New Day has quickly and almost quietly become the best thing on Raw every week. And so you get to a point where, yes, it's cool that the Dudleys are back. There's this nostalgia feel to them. But they run the risk of the New Day, despite being the quote-unquote heels, the bad guys in the story, getting the bulk of cheers from the fans. Because the Dudley thing can last for so long in terms of, yeah, hey, it's great to see these guys back, before you get to a point where, you know what, I'm glad to see these guys back, but I like these guys better. And I think we might have to get to a point where the Dudleys, I'd hate to see a double turn, because I think that would derail some of the momentum of the New Day, turning them babyface. But we've seen how the WWE handles these things sometimes. Sometimes they make the turns too early. Sometimes they make them too late. It's a crapshoot. So this Sunday, I say the New Day wins with some type of nefarious means, maybe an illegal trombone shot. And then, who knows, maybe that'll prompt the Dudleys to call on Spike, and we'll get some six-man action, and then the Dudleys will finally win the belts. But I think the New Day has to be protected. They can't treat them like chumps, because this is your future, and while it's great to have these guys from the Attitude Era back, you know, you've got to protect who are going to be your stars 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Greeny, New Day retains, you think?
Yeah, I think so too. And just to add what Nate was saying, New Day were so close to turning themselves babyface. I think it was the night after SummerSlam.
Oh yeah,
where Xavier came out with the trombone for the first time, and the crowd was eating it up. There was no other team on the roster that could have come out to save that babyface turn. And then boom, the Dudley music hits, and everything stays. For New Day. New Day as individuals, they're all three of them are jobbers, but as a unit, they're incredible. It all works. And just to plug something quickly, if anybody has not watched The Table for Three on the WWE Network with New Day, do yourself a favor. It is 25 of the best minutes on the network right now.
I caught part of it. It is pretty good. They talk about when they were in
FCW.
Even before that, when they were in
when Deep South closed.
Deep South, yeah. And they kept saying, you know, I'm such an idiot. I knew his real name wasn't Xavier Woods, but when Kofi Kingston kept talking about this Austin Watson guy and a resume and a suit, and I'm like, the hell's Austin Watson? And I'd look it up. Oh, he's talking about Xavier. He's talking to him in the third person. I'm like, he was rocking him. So
shoot, brother.
I was like, I don't know what the hell he was talking about. But I did catch a little bit of Greeny, and you're exactly right. It's fantastic. And there's supposed to be better ones down the pike, too, from this table of three.
And so, going in, I was expecting Mean Gene to be sitting down with them like he did with Piper and Orndorff, but it's just the three of them eating some food and drinking water and shooting the shit.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So, definitely check it out on the network. I have to watch it in full. I only caught like five or six minutes of it. Dolph and Rusev, I don't even know why they're bothering with this match. I mean, the whole crux of it is Lana, and she's gone for, 5 months, I think, or something? She's probably not back till the Rumble. Right. So, I don't know. I thought it would have been kind of a waste. I think Rusev wins. So, I do think he gets a little bit of his pushback. All right, let's go around the horn and talk about who this third guy is for Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns against Bray, Luke, and Ogre. Willie, what do you think? He is. It's Ogre. Nerds! It's Ogre.
All
we need is Chad Gable. Was it Chad Gable? No. That was his name. Greeny, you would know.
Chad Gable's in NXT.
I know. That's what I thought. I think that's why that popped into my head. Jack Gamble, who knows?
I was going to say Arvid, but that's head of the class.
What the hell was his name? What's his name? Ted McGinley there.
Ted McGinley.
He was something Gable. Chad, Brad, Justin, Scott, anybody in the core four? I don't know. What the hell was his name? Something Gable. I got to look it up now because it's going to annoy me. Nate, who's the third man? Hulk Hogan? NWO restarting?
That'd be great, but he'd be on the wrong team.
Oh, man.
I want to switch sides, brother. no reason. It's my environment. Sorry, guys. it's funny because for weeks when this thing started, they kept hitting the family note really, really hard. So that led you to believe it might have been one of the Usos or craziness ensuing, maybe even The Rock. But this show is not nearly big enough for Dwayne to step down off his throne. So you got to think who has history with either the Wyatt family or with the Shield guys. And I'm like, maybe it's Rowan, but that doesn't really make sense. Maybe Daniel Bryan, but I don't know if they're going to trust him yet. So I'm going to go, this is the spot that was originally slated for Sting. So I'm thinking it's going to have to be somebody with at least that type of buzz coming back. So I'm going to go with a guy that Bray feuded with, and this may or may not be right depending on his schedule. But how about Tough Enough's very own Chris Jericho? Because they had that feud. What pay-per-view was that at?
Which one?
With Bray and Y2J?
Last year's Battleground and SummerSlam.
Yeah, they had that Raw cage match where Jericho almost killed himself off the top of the cage.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So I don't know if it will happen, but that's out of a bunch of bad, because I think they've written themselves into a corner where if it's a surprise opponent, it has to have some type of gravitas, and you don't really have a guy in that position that serves the story other than maybe The Rock. And so I'm going to say they're going to go for star power over storytelling and go with a guy that at least has a loose connection, and that's Jericho.
Okay. Greeny?
I'm going to go with another guy who has a little bit of a connection with the Wyatt family, but going back a little bit farther, and that's going to be the return of the Big Red Machine Kane.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. In his garb.
Yeah, in his garb.
Mask and all. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Willie?
I'm going to be the pessimist here. Usually I'm the optimist, but I'm going to be the pessimist here, seeing that the WWE have a long and storied history of just blowing mystery partners. Now, you guys said Hogan. I was thinking Jimmy Snuka for a second, like at the Survivor Series.
Oh, God, that's even worse.
But Rowan, it was the thing that, just because it doesn't make sense doesn't mean they're not going to do it. Rowan was the first guy who I thought, and then the second guy who I think is someone who's not on the card at all. I don't know why he's out, but Orton.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is Sheamus.
But I think Sheamus is off, to give a little Willie or Wony.
Sheamus should be a wild card.
True, Willie or Wony. It's Stan Gable. Stan Gable was Ted McGinley. And it was Coach Harris was John Goodman. Christ, I don't remember that at all. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And was McGinley on Love Boat? Was he on Love Boat or Too Close for Comfort?
He was on Love Boat and Married with Children.
He was Roger on Love Boat. He was
Jefferson.
Was he on Married with Children?
Jefferson Darcy.
Jefferson Darcy. He was Love Boat.
He was Mr. Scream in Wayne's World too.
Yep. He's the shark jumper actor. He goes on with sitcom when the shark ate half the boat. So it's usually what happened in his history. Right? Ace on the Love Boat, Roger on Happy Days. Yeah.
Happy Days. You're right.
Happy Days. And he was
because he came into Happy Days after Richie left.
Yeah, he came in Happy Days after Chachi burned the first Arnolds.
That's right.
And then they opened up that Arnolds with the and remember Fonzie read him the Riot Act? What an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran off crying, thought him and were going to elope, and then Mauser from Police Academy 2 was going to manage their music. Oh, wait, that was a real show. Never mind. Forgot about that. That actually was a real show. Well, I can't believe I remembered Mauser. Anyway, Anybody remember the fraternity that they that the nerds were accepted to?
Was it the Tri-Lambs?
Tri-Lambs. Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Yeah. Clap your hands, everybody.
UN Jefferson. He was the head of the Tri-Lambs.
Yes.
Great. Oh, what a great movie. Oh. But, yeah. And he went from being a nerd to a Wyatt. How about that, huh? So none of us think that it's Daniel Bryan.
No.
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 That almost seems too obvious for some reason.
And I feel they would be announcing that and pushing it and trying to get
tune in by
the network.
Yeah,
for
he's Monday on Raw. They
he's
would.
A name. Yeah, he's a name that you need to promote in advance. Somebody like Kane or Jericho. No, not really.
You know, or have him come out like at 7:30 during the pre-show and give the people a chance to get the network and all that.
Right.
So.
Right.
All right. I don't think it'll be Orton because nobody will care. I think people will care even less than they would if it's Rowan, to be honest with you, Willie.
I could be wrong, but I think that they wrote Orton off TV. I think he's getting married.
Oh, I thought maybe he was doing the Marine 12 or 34 rounds or behind enemy lines, Cleveland or something. I don't know. I keep using Cleveland tonight. Let me think. Who would be a legit? I got one. I got a good one because you only need him for a night. How about Samoa Joe?
That's a good one.
I would love that.
You only need him for a night. Yeah. He doesn't need to be part of the storyline. The storyline's with Reigns and Bray. It's really not with the rest of these clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, you could kind of tie it into the family thing that Roman was talking about because I'm sure Vince thinks they're related.
Yeah, I know.
Like they're all related.
Aren't you Rock's ninth cousin?
His name's Samoa.
Yeah. They're all NOIs. I think my dark horse is Samoa Joe. That's what I think. That's my dark horse.
The only other person I could think of who's not on the card and there's no real tie-ins, just to throw somebody in there that the crowd could dig, would be Cesaro. I think that's a long shot.
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn healthy?
No.
He says he's out for the rest of the year, but I don't know if that was... I think
his knee,
he had
was, that
more,
was it his knee or his shoulder?
His shoulder, but I think he went in and cleaned up a whole bunch of other stuff too in his arm.
Wow. Okay. Who else? How about Chumpy, Willie? Chumpy, that's all.
Yeah,
just only saying Thomas O'Chumpy. Nah, probably not. I have a feeling Kane is probably a pretty good bet, but I don't be surprised, Samoa Joe.
What's El Torito doing on Night of Champions?
Didn't he just get his ass kicked by the? Aren't the what's their names? Aren't they El Torero? Aren't they bad guys? And they beat the crap out of them.
The Luchadors, which makes no sense. Like if you think about the whole, and somebody hit me up the other day, and I hate to derail things, but I feel this is a valid point of logic that nobody really understood when they were creating these characters. Not only do you have the Puerto Rican guys playing Mexicans, which is just silly, but.
Like, but they're all the same.
Like, he's on the show because he can say things and we won't get flagged. So
like, I'm the anger translator, like Luther on Key and Peele. But like you've got that, but it's also like their gimmick is they're matadors. So shouldn't they have been trying to kill Torito from the start? Like, why is this bull their buddy?
Or vice versa, yeah.
I just like when anybody abuses midgets. But, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I agree with you, Nate. That's actually a pretty good philosophical question. But
I'll derail things a little more, speaking of midgets.
At least you guys apologize instead of just, you know, trampling over me. But go ahead.
Running against the Ring of Honor show tomorrow night in your favorite town of Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Oshkosh, Hornswoggle. Next to Sheboygan.
Yeah, Hornswoggle is booking and running a little local show.
A little show.
He's like a little
crowd, little fans.
You know what he's trying? I got an entire arena full of midgets. Ooh,
little payoffs.
Oh, wow.
you know, Well, you know what he's turned into? He's turned into like a midget version of Lou Albano now. Like, he should own a deli the way he looks now with his certainly with his slick back hair.
He'll have to stand on a milk crate to see over the counter.
Yes. Okay. Now that Nate has officially started a war with the island of Puerto Rico and the country of Mexico.
Puerto Rico and Mexico are not friendly.
Oh, well, yeah, it's true. So I guess it didn't matter anyway. I like Samoa Joe. I think it's going to be – let's put it this way. I think it's going to be a TNA guy. A TNA. God, it better not be a TNA. Cheeks is going to come out. Cheeks with Reigns and Ambrose.
Bram.
That's Bram. Oh. Pulling Charlotte's hair. No, I'm only kidding. No, that's not funny. I think it's somebody from NXT. My leaning towards Joe. Why not? He's got nothing else to do at the moment.
He got a pretty big pop. I was just watching last week's NXT when they showed it was him and Balor against Lucha Dragons, and they did it at the SmackDown taping in Rhode Island, and he got a pretty big pop from the crowd. So.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be people getting let down like
right, not Joe, absolutely not. I don't think it'll be Balor. You don't want to waste a.
No.
You want his the first time he actually enters a WWE ring to be like epic, like Taker epic when he comes in. You don't want to waste it on a one shot.
Isn't this the weekend where NXT is doing the Texas house shows too?
Yeah, they were
okay. So
today,
so they're gonna yeah, so they're gonna be local anyway.
Yeah. Who else? Anybody else on that? Bailey? What do you think, Willie?
She's a hugger.
The Wyatts could be huggers?
Yeah, I think Luke Harper and Bailey would.
Yes, <I'm sure. laughs> You know, and I have to say, Willie, I have to say, I know that I'm going into NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, I'm not a Bailey fan whatsoever, but she definitely won me over a little bit with that epic performance in beating Sasha Banks for the title. But she came out this week for the first time on NXT on the show, and I think since. And she grabbed that little girl that's like she's like a super Bailey super fan, and she got in the ring with her, and she got to do that. That was awesome. I'm almost there, Willie, to be a full blown hugger. Yeah. I'm almost there. Almost there. She's good for the show. I think she's
really good for the show, and she's like I've said before, she's an amazing character.
What do you think of her, Nate? What do you think of Bailey?
I was a little slow to warm up to her at first, but I've got to say, man, the storytelling that they've told with her and the way that match came across, man, it's like it's hard not to love what she's doing. Right. And I think she's benefited by not being brought up in this quote-unquote Divas Revolution to the main roster because she gets to stand out. And I think that's a big part of the reason why the fans are like taking to her so much now, not that they weren't before, but it's like, you know, we've seen this journey of this person and everybody else, you know, Sasha and Charlotte and Paige, they've moved on, but she's still here. And now she finally gets this big crowning moment. You know, it's kind of hard not to root for.
And I think too, let me go with this analogy for a little bit before you laugh at me. She's kind of like Daniel Bryan in a way in that she's very much Daniel Bryan. Is an amazing wrestler, one of the best ever, but he's really relatable and he's really likable as a person. And he's someone that you can like, if you're a kid or a teenager, you can say, hey, that guy doesn't look any bigger than me. He might even be smaller than me. Like that could be me in the ring. And it's same with Bailey. She's not like Charlotte or Becky Lynch or one of the Bellas. You know, she's pretty, but she's also kind of, you know, she's more relatable. She's, you know, athletic and yeah.
She's a tomboy. And you took the words right out of my mouth, Steve, with the Bryan comparison. She's the ultimate babyface underdog.
Yeah, people can easily relate to her, and that's why kids love her.
Yep.
Just adore her.
People were saying, let's put it this way. I heard this from maybe it was in a corporate article or somebody at work might have told me. Now how long has John Cena just did his 500th Make-A-Wish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how long has he been doing it? Pretty much since he's been main eventing. So 10 years?
Yeah, give or take.
They say if Bailey consistently does Make-A-Wishes, she'll pass him in half the time.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. So, because little girls love her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably more than Cena. Because Cena goes out with Nikki and nobody likes
her. I think that Bailey is everything that they were looking for 20 years ago with Alundra Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
That tomboyish look. Who could go in the ring, that'll smile, that's, you know, halfway good looking. They nailed that with Bayley, though.
Right.
I think that's a great comparison, but and the key difference is the age, because, you know, no shade on Alundra, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time in terms of the female side of things, but she was a grown-ass woman by the time she got to the WWE.
Right.
Whereas Bayley is still young enough that she's relatable to these young girls, and they can look up to her not only in the sense of, wow, she's a great wrestler, but also, hey, she could be my older sister, you know, and I don't think they could make that connection with Alundra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alundra could have been your grandmother.
Oh. Hot grandmother, let me tell you. Smoke.
I'll tell you what, she looks all right for however old she is.
She's going to be on a table for three.
Is she?
What is it? Table of three? table of three.
So you're actually on the table.
Yeah.
Table 4-3.
Wow. Table 3-some. Oh, wait, never mind. Yeah, it's her, Molly Holly.
Really?
And Sunny? No, Sunny would be doing lines on the table.
That's a different kind of thing.
She'll be leaving the table every 3 minutes to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, to go to the bathroom. It's Sunny. Not Sunny. It's Molly.
Is it Trish?
Alundra.
Trish. Lita.
Ivory.
No.
Bull Nakano.
Naka, no! That would be awesome, actually. Aja Kong. How about Alundra, Aja Kong, and Bull Nakano, and they could just beat the crap out of each other? A great match that would be. I gotta remember who the third one is. I saw it in one of the promos that at work.
Hulk Hogan?
See, again, the snooko would be better at that one.
You're opening so many doors, Nate, but it's just so inappropriate. I gotta leave it. Never mind. Who the hell's the other one? The NXT one's going to be good. What's that? Owens, Graves? It's Owens, Graves, and...
Man, where do you know about this? Is it...
I saw the promo because they're in the... This is, you know, under the table stuff. And I don't really do that.
Under the table of three.
Table with Sonny and Hogan. Imagine that. The undesirables table. It's next to the kitchen. Who is it? It's... Yeah, there's a bunch of them coming out. Oh, the WCW one is awesome. It's DDP, Vader, and Sting.
Oh, wow.
That's an awesome one.
That sounds great.
That's an awesome one. I know that one. I saw they did some promo. Maybe they haven't aired it yet on the network, but I saw the girl that does my job for them. I saw her putting some stuff into the system, and one of them was, and I'm pretty sure the WCW one's definitely Vader, Sting, and DDP. Then there's an NXT one. It's Owens, Graves, and I can't think of the third one. Then I think there's
Adam Rose?
Maybe. That's not a bad one. And then the other one is Alundra, Molly, and a blonde. Might be Sable.
Maurice.
That would be awesome if it was Maurice. Oof. Just to look at her, because she married the Miz. What a tool. Shit. I can't think of who the third woman is, but it's definitely Alundra and Molly are the first two. It might be Lita. Who said Lita? You, Greeny? You might be right. Yeah.
I was just throwing out names. Yeah,
I thought it was a blonde, though. Shit. We'll get back to that. But anyway, there's a bunch of those table threes coming out. The funny one, though, with Piper, God rest his soul, Piper, Gene, and Orndorff's like, are you eating that? Are you drinking your water? Like, Orndorff was eating. What bus station did they find him in? It's
like, food, who's eating everyone's food?
It was ridiculous. All right. So, all right. Now, we talked about Charlotte a minute ago and her loser ex-husband. Does she beat Nikki, Nate, on Sunday? Does the streak finally end? Does Cena's stroke finally run out?
First of all, I'm not discussing Cena's stroke. I'll cross lines, just not that one.
I mean, we're not talking vinegar strokes. But
I mean, he did look pretty good in, what was that, Trainwreck? So I can't. I can't comment on Cena's skills in that department, but I will say I think this is the time for Charlotte to get the belt. I've got issues with the way that they booked the title match on Monday night, but at the end of the day, it did generate a little bit more heat for the match on the show that people ostensibly are paying for, so I guess that's the way to do things. I think they just had Nikki hold the belt long enough to get rid of AJ Lee because they're petty over there. And this is Charlotte's time, and I think she's capable. I'm interested to see what they do. Obviously, they're foreshadowing a heel turn or some type of unrest with Paige. Sasha's still out there, so yeah, it's time to not just talk about this being a revolution, but actually be a revolution and give us some different matches.
Yeah, start breaking them up. I agree. I think Charlotte wins. That's my pick. What do you think, Greeny?
I agree. I think Charlotte has to win here, and then we're gonna start seeing some friction between her and Paige.
Yep,
I think Paige is gonna start to slowly, Charlotte's gonna not refuse to give her a title shot, but Charlotte's gonna accept challenges from other people first, and then Paige is gonna get fed up. And you know what? I would love to see Paige and Charlotte at WrestleMania.
Be good. That'd be definitely a good match. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Willie, does the streak end?
Yeah, the streak ends. My question is going to be, what happens with the Bellas going forward? Like people like Bellas and Alicia Fox. Mm-hmm. You know, are we going to see them take some time off? You know, they're kind of the center point of Total Divas. So are they just going to be on there? But usually they try to get together. But I think their time is kind of come and gone on regular WWE programming.
Right.
So what are they going to do next?
Mm. Good point. All right. Good first segment so far, gentlemen. Why don't we take a break here on the main event? We return. We'll talk about the upper half of the card, all title matches, the Intercontinental title, the U.S. title, and, of course, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Seth Rollins wrestles twice. He's no Jay Lethal. More main event after the break. Okay.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out Scott Criscolo and me on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including Main Event, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super shows. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Phil Schneider's Digging in the Crates, and our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse. And join Pro Wrestling Only's Will and I on the Dangerous Alliance podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to enjoy as well. We featured the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., The Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops, and the TJ McClune Show, featuring great guests from around the world of sports journalism. PTBN also proudly features the Richard the Mailman Podcast, specializing in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN also is the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keith's RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast. Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds, wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Goodwill Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brainbuster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
I'm all grown up now, and I listen and learn a true star, and I'm finally getting my turn. Took my L, burnt my spot. I'ma be here for a minute, sonny boy, if you like it or not. While you think about chicks and whips, I'm on a yacht though, laid back, sun in my face, just like Pablo or Tony Montana. The world is mine, ain't a cloud in the sky that can stop my shine. I love it. I done came from the grime and grit, now I'm on top, shining on some rhyme and shit. When you think about me, you think of the best, like a full length me going new.
Hey, welcome back, Blaze Nation, episode 43 of the main event. Scott Muscolo, along with Steve Willey, Jason Greenhouse, the Godfather, Nate Milton. BlazeBNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Today, Mr. Rosero and I unveiled our next Vintage Vault refresh, the 1996 Royal Rumble. Big Daddy Cool, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Taker, Goldust. Check it out. Our newest Vintage Vault refresh, the 1996 Royal Rumble. Newest episode I did last night of Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution, myself, Cowboy Senior, Andy Flanagan, and Schmitty. We went over week one of the NFL season, talked week two, a little pennant races action. And right now, I think the Marlins, at least they only don't break our balls. I believe last check, the Marlins were leading the Nationals in the eighth inning. So the Mets might get a magic number dropped. Well, they're in the bottom of the ninth. Yep, bottom of the ninth right now in D.C. Marlins lead the Nats 6-4. So good. The Marlins are going to break everybody else's balls and not just ours. Big series this weekend, Mr. Greenhouse.
Yes, sir. Subway Series. Yes. Probably the biggest Subway Series since 2000.
Big one. Tomorrow night, Tanaka, Mats.
The most important one, yeah.
Yeah, Tanaka, Mats mm-hmm. tomorrow. Pineda, Syndergaard on Saturday. Sabathia, Harvey on Sunday. So all the heavyweights lined
yes,
up for...
Yes, I am looking forward to it.
It's going to be a big series. Big
Who
series.
Who cares? Go Cubs, go!
They went today? Weren't they up like 15-0 today?
They did.
Yeah, They won 9-6.
I want you to keep winning because I'd like to see, because I would like a little fallback option. I'd eventually kind of like to see the Mets grab a wild card. So mm-hmm. maybe if you can pass the Pirates. Actually, why don't we keep the Pirates and Cubs and get rid of the Cardinals? That'd be awesome. Maybe they should be number two behind the Marlins.
I think the wild card match is pretty much locked in right now.
So right now, Willie, you're just. Well, go ahead, finish, Greeny.
Well, no, I was going to say because the Giants are 8 games back of Chicago, who has a second position. So I think that we're set for the one game wild card with the blackout at PNC Field.
Yeah. Do you think I don't know, Willie? Can you catch up and have it at Wrigley?
Well, they're within two right now. So okay.
Is it that close? Okay. I thought it was like 4 or 5. Okay.
I think you guys are in pretty good shape, Greeny.
I mean, think so too. Oh no! Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say you're either gonna play now. Now I thought you were gonna play Texas. You might actually play the Astros now.
There are so many teams just floating around Minnesota too. I mean, you know, I thought someone had taken them, you know, a month ago and, you know, took them out back and shot them. But they're, Minnesota's right there, and the West is just crazy right now. No matter what, playing either Houston or the Rangers at the stadium in a one game playoff, that's Anxiety City, man.
It is. I know. So anyway, PTBN's Sports Evolution episode 2 is up there right now. Check it out. The Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast, JT and Will, course, having their fun and games. So check that out. The 9th episode of that. Great show. Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web. Chad and Parv with the Big Boys Play, continuing their anniversary special with the second part of their top 100 matches special. They unveiled 50-1. PTBN's NBA Team Podcast, as Adam Murray and Andrew Reich begin their season preview. Can the Warriors go back-to-back? Mr. Bayless has your Raw recap. And earlier in the week, of course, myself and JT did the next episode of Place to Be Podcast. We did the Vintage Vault for No Way Out 2005. So there you go, placebnation.com, your home for everything pop culture. We'll have, of course, Mr. McGinn will have his Night of Champions preview up this weekend as well. And Mr. Milton, when is the next Kings of Sport due?
Yes, the next Kings of Sport will be out sometime this weekend. Okay. Can't tell you when, can't tell you where, but I can tell you where. It's going to be on Place to Be Nation. So you gotta keep your eyes on the site, and then that's how you'll know, because we've got some great stuff coming up this week. We're talking to Morgan Campbell from the Toronto Sun. We're going to talk NFL Week 1, give our thoughts on the week that was, and we're going to introduce a brand new feature that has never been done before in the world of sports shows. You know, everybody's got power rankings and quarterbacks in this and teams in that defense and whatnot. We're going to come out with a very specific quarterback ranking that you'll either love or you'll either hate, and I think I know which way Hulk Hogan's going to go on this list. But everybody but Brother Terry can tune into the Kings of Sport this weekend with myself and Marcus Vandenberg from Yahoo Sports, and it'll be a good time.
I vote Dante Culpepper. So, all right. Awesome, Nate. So placebnation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Also, we're getting close to, of course, the holidays. It is. We're getting, you know, Christmas shopping never, you know, starts late. So while you're checking out placebnation.com, go to the right. You'll see the link to Amazon.com. So while you're shopping for all your holiday fun and games, if you go through placebnation.com to do it, we get a little piece back. Your prices don't go up. You're still going to have the best rates, but we get a little piece as a thank you. So when you go to placebnation.com and you're going to go on Amazon, just click from there. And you'll go right to Amazon.com, do everything you need to do, and we get a little support from it. So, also,
hey, buy your Halloween costumes there too. You know, Jordan with his Nikki Bella costume, Scott your slap bracelets for your Bailey costume.
That's right. Oh, you know, I could morph them, Willie. I could have like my streamers and a sledgehammer, and my Conan thing, and my Conan helmet with streamers. I'm the king of huggers.
Conan helmet. I thought you were going with. Lucha, the Conan.
I was picturing Scott with the flannel with the top button.
It's like a bald cap
and the fedora.
Could you imagine?
The filthy animals are all huggers.
Oh, God, that was great.
And his boxer is outside of his wife beater.
Yes. I'm a hugger, bitch. Viva la raza.
I actually did dress as NWO Conan for Halloween. I don't know if there's pictures of that existing. If there are, I will find them. And
oh yes. My God, I will definitely do it. All right, and then of course check out also on PlayStation.com. The link is there. It's on the right. Our free ebook. As we mentioned, the Vintage Vault refresh. Well, JR and I redid our Vintage Vaults, rewrote them, new fun facts, more juicy comments, and we have them all in a neat, tidy ebook for Volume 1, the Vintage Vault refresh. Pretty much the Federation era goes from WrestleMania 1 to Survivor Series 1992. So it's absolutely free. It's on the right-hand side of the screen. You can also go to BarnesandNoble.com and check it out as well. So, and, of course, the volumes will continue. We'll do a New Generation era, and obviously we'll do an Attitude Era version as well, you know, section as well. So keep it up. PlacementNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Oh, viva la raza. I just realized that. Imagine Conan with streamers. Wow, now that's going to get stuck in my head. Wow.
We need to find that song that, what was it, Bow Wow Wow, with the little video him and Ray had.
Oh, yeah. That's right. What is that theme, Greeny?
He and Ray both had
singles
in WCW.
Yes.
Yep.
Rap is not crap, damn it.
Man, I am.
So, all right.
Oh boy.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's get back to Night of Champions, which will take place this Sunday in Houston. I think it's a pretty much a foregone conclusion. Kevin Owens is beating Ryback. Are we fairly comfortable in that assessment. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I think it's time. Nothing against the big guy, but I've got a secret for him. Maybe it's not a great secret, but you're not walking out of that room with the title, because we saw with John Cena the title what having a credible champion can do for a belt. Mm-hmm. It can elevate the belt and elevate the guys that are coming for that belt. And I think you can get that same type of appeal with Ryback. Yeah, he's a great character for the young kids out there, but you need somebody who can be a credible champion, and that's Kevin Owens. And I'm interested to see where they can go with Kevin, you know, with taking this next step.
Mm. Does Ryback have a shot, Greeny?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Give him 10 to 12 minutes. But, yeah, it's, if they don't want Owens in the main event picture right now for whatever reason, give him the IC belt. I think that he should mock Cena. He should do the open IC challenge every week. You know, something to do.
Hmm.
Bring in some NXT guys to accept the challenge every week. Just something to do.
Hmm. No shot, Willie.
I hope not. I mean, I hope Owen wins, because if he doesn't, then what? Is he just going to cascade down the card? You guys were talking about the build earlier on. I was thinking that, though I'm not interested in all the matches, every match that they've had at least had a build up to it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just thrown together like they do. They usually just throw a couple matches on last minute. This was the only one that didn't really feel like it had much to it in terms of a build up until Monday, which Nate, you referenced the secret there. And boy, that was a really good promo by Kevin Owens. Ryback needs to never ad lib again, but it built it up from basically just a run in, I believe, to making me actually interested in seeing the match. And I'm also intrigued to see how the two of those guys work together. I think if anyone can pull a good match out of Ryback, it's going to be Owens, and I think Ryback's going to be excited to work with him.
I don't think it'll be a bad match either. I think Ryback will kind of adapt to Owens, and I think Owens will look forward to kind of working with a piece of meat that he can kind of mangle. So I dig this, but I don't think there's any question that this is Owens' consolation prize for the tap out at Battleground, which we all thought was a kind of a joke. All right, Seth Rollins, two belts, two opponents, two matches. I don't think. Here's my let me do this first before we talk about Cena. I'm going to lay it right out on the table, and I might be crazy. Maybe I'm feeling a little nostalgic. Sting walks out of Night of Champions, World Heavyweight Champion. No run-ins, no nothing. I think he wins. I'm probably on crack, but whatever. I think he wins. We'll get to that in a minute.
Your crack addiction or
they're both?
Oh, okay.
What now? Now because I'm going to dress like Conan, I'm a drug dealer. Very stereotypical of you, Willie.
Oh man.
I can't see Cena winning the U.S. title back. I mean, really? I don't see it. Nate, do you see it? Does he really need this belt again?
He doesn't need the belt, but then again, you can make the argument: does Seth Rollins need the belt, especially if he loses the world title? To have him just come out with the U.S. belt, I don't know if that does a lot for his character. I think if you want to tell the story of the authority being disappointed in him, leading to more tension between him and everyone's favorite wrestler, Triple H, then I think it works better for the story if he's going to lose those both belts. And I enjoyed the Cena U.S. Open challenges. I think for weeks they were one of the best parts of Raw. So I would not be surprised if Cena won the belt back, and I actually wouldn't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Greeny, I mean, I think it'll be a good match. I thought their match at SummerSlam was excellent, except for the crappy ending. They have good chemistry. I think we're in for a great match, but maybe Cena wins by DQ. Or does he ditch the belt here? I don't know. If Rollins is facing somebody else, I could see him dropping the U.S. belt. But now you're dealing with two guys who neither of them need it. Just my opinion. What do you think, Greeny?
Right. Neither of them need it, but I think Rollins keeps it
not because Cena doesn't need it, but because of what I think will happen at during the main event, and then there's a wild card in between this show and Hell in a Cell, which we'll talk about when we get to the main event.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Willie, I mean, has this run its course for Cena? Is it time for him to move on to, like, another objective? Should he take time off? That's what I think he should do, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm going to sound like a broken record here. Like, I talked about it with the Bellas. I talked about it if what if Owens loses. But, you know, if Cena does win the U.S. belt, he's pretty much gone through most of the kind of young guns for that U.S. title challenge. So, yeah, what would be next for Cena here? Is he going to get, you know, I honestly don't know. Is he going to take some time off? Is he going to get, like, you know, thrown to Lesnar at some point? You know, there's just... He's another guy like Orton who just needs to go away for a while, come back. Hey, let him go on the Today Show or something like that, you know, once a week like he's been doing.
Okay. I think this is a perfect time, I think, for Cena to take a few months, couple months off.
And he's earned it. He deserves
it.
He's definitely earned it.
He's
had an amazing year.
Yeah, and, and it's okay not to have him around, you know? He's not – I mean, yes, you don't need him at Hell in a Cell. I think Survivor Series will survive without him. And the TLC's TLC. Hopefully I'll be there. So I think Rollins keeps it. I don't know if there's a run-in or anything, or maybe he just pins him clean. I don't know. I just don't see the title, the belt changing there. Now, main event. Before we get to the match, Nate, do you think that it's... I don't want to say demeaning, that Sting is, you know, the guy's a Hall of Famer. We know that. One of the greatest ever. Wrestled Triple H at WrestleMania, but WrestleMania is WrestleMania. Do you find this, I don't want to say demeaning, but it's like, Sting's wrestling on a secondary show. Does that bug you?
Not really, because he is kind of the drawing card of the secondary show. Like, if he were third match from the top, I think I'd have a problem with it, but... Ostensibly, this show has been built on seeing Sting go for the one title that's eluded him. I don't know how well they've done that. You know, like I said, most of the build with Sting, other than this past Monday night, hasn't really lit my world on fire. But I think that Sting, here's another thing. You know, I do a show on the Fight Network, Review and Impact, with Brian Mann, and Brian used to work for the WWE, and there's a stigma that comes attached with these guys that weren't quote-unquote WWF or WWE guys. And I feel that it's taken from Survivor Series through WrestleMania all this way up to for them to get a handle on who Sting is as a WWE character. And so I think what we saw Monday is more reflective of the Sting they'll be presenting going forward rather than some of the stuff they had him do before. So, yeah, I think that... Yeah, it's a B show, but he's headlining a B show, so I don't have too much of an issue with it.
Okay. The build we talked about earlier, and you said it, Nate, that's been kind of up and down, but they at least talked about the history of this wonderful guy. He's working with a great guy in the ring. The match with Triple H was... it seems like he looks in better shape. People worry about his hair too much. The guy's 50-something. Who cares about his hair? So he looks like Abraham Lincoln. Whatever. The fact remains is he definitely looks like he's trimmed down. Not that Sting was ever fat, per se, but he looks like he's kind of slim to, like, wrestling size. And I think Sting's a guy that takes himself and his matches very seriously. Has he ever been, like, a five-star, you know, work break guy? No. But that never bothered anybody. I think you're going to see a good, solid, and you said it, I think you said it, Greeny, 15, 16, 17-minute match. I think the longest match on this card, I have a feeling it's going to be the six-man tag. I think Ambrose, Reigns, and whoever against Bray, Luke, and Ogre, I think is going to go like 25 minutes. I really do.
That's possible.
I think that's going to eat up a yeoman. I think it's because you're pretty much looking at Elimination Chamber 2014, except without Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think that's going to be the big hunk of the show. I think this match goes, you know, 16, 17 minutes. Anybody think that that Cena or Seth opens the show? Like, so they have space between the matches? What do you think, Willie?
I can see that happening. It'd be a good pop for the crowd. I just lost the card. I could also see New Day versus Dudley starting it off, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, I wonder how much separation there'll be in the two matches. What do you think, Nate?
I think Cena and Seth will probably go, they could open the show, but I think they'll probably save it for maybe the, how many, we got eight matches, so I'd say maybe they put it at the third spot.
Unless Vince, unless Vince ribs Sting and has Sting open, and they do that match first.
Yeah. You got to earn your way here, kid. You're a rookie.
Yeah, you're a rookie, kid. You and that Carlos Colon guy.
Go down to NXT.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Baron Von who? Go to NXT.
Sting versus Baron Corbin.
Oh, God.
Worst tag team in that Dusty Rhodes tournament, him and Rhino. Good grief. Two unlikable people.
Unfortunately, it looks like they're going to win the whole thing.
Oh, God. Vaudeville, Blake and Murphy get their rematch next week against Steve Willis and my favorite teams of all time, the Vaudevillains. All right. I think Sting wins. And I think he hoists the belt up. I don't think we get a Sheamus run-in, a Sheamus cash-in. I don't. Because I think, I'm sure everyone's going to think, well, isn't Triple H going to run in and keep it? But, I mean, that they shook hands after Mania. Nobody gives a shit about that anymore. It was so far up, sorry, previous in the year. I really do think that this is Sting's moment. And I think he wins. And I don't think it demeans Seth Rollins in the least. Not that anybody, I think, even cares. Everybody is shitting on his title reign anyway, so why should anybody be upset that it ends? You know what I mean? Let's put it this way. My goal with this analysis is to paint the hypocrites into a corner. At the one hand, some are pissed off because they think Seth Rollins' reigns sucked and he's been bad. But in the same breath, they'll be like, well, we can't have Sting win. He's old. So my goal is to paint them into a corner. Either you think Sting is too old and shouldn't win, and then a title reign that, you know, and I'm not saying you guys, I'm saying in general, because a lot of fans are like this, that are bitching and moaning that Seth Rollins' title reign's been a flop, which I don't think it has been. Or you can't stand Seth Rollins, and you'll be happy to see him lose, even if it's to a guy who's 50-something years old. You know, I'll start with you, Greeny. Do you understand my logic here? There are some fans that have the opinion of both. Either you hate Rollins' reign, and you'll be happy to see Sting win, or Sting doesn't deserve the belt because he's too old. But you can't really have both. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And this is actually something I'm gonna dive into in a little bit when we do a little exercise here. Yeah, I totally agree. There's some people who were never satisfied, never happy.
Precisely. Period. There's a lot of them. Nathaniel, am I out of line thinking that Sting could actually become WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
I mean, this is the world of professional wrestling, so anything could happen. I've got a couple scenarios, though. My ultimate scenario, being a Sting fan, obviously, you know, he's my favorite wrestler of all time. My ultimate scenario would be Sting wins the title, we get Sheamus trying to cash in, and Sting beats Sheamus, so we don't have to worry about that nonsense anymore, and Sting can have a nice little title run. I don't think it'll be anything substantial or lengthy, but, you know, a month or two, hey, it's cool. But what I think is going to happen is either Seth Rollins is going to win or Sting is going to win and they have Sheamus beat Sting, which would just crush all my hopes and dreams and faith in humanity. Mm-hmm. in the world if they did that to Steve Borden, especially after seeing that video from after Raw on Monday night with him and Cena with the little girl, like that was awesome. Like, and you can tell, man, he's just a good dude, and I want to see him get his just due. Monday, like I said, was a long way towards rebuilding my faith that this company knows how to present Sting. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that they do right by him in this match. And that doesn't mean that he has to win the title, but at least present him as somebody that was a credible threat to Seth Rollins.
Okay. I have a theory. Well, what about you, Willie? Am I out of line? Can Sting win this match? Can Sting?
He could. Where would he go next? Where would Sting go? Because, again, broken record tonight. Like, if he wins, is he going to do, like, the Brock Lesnar thing and only be every other
new
card or so?
I have a theory.
Survivor Series?
I have a theory, but I'll let you finish your comments. I have a theory.
Because the one thing that I think goes against Sting, if you watch that tag match on Monday Night Raw, he literally did not take a bump. Mm-hmm. He was on offense the entire time that he was in the ring. And so, you know, if the thought is Brock Lesnar going against him, can he take those suplexes? I don't know. Like, if he can't do a bump in that match, and I'm guessing they were saving him up a little bit for the weekend so he can stay fresh and not get injured. Mm. But how many matches are there out there for him?
Right.
Here's my theory. I think he wins Sunday. There's a rematch at Hell in a Cell. I think he wins that one. Because I think he could be protected somewhat in a cell, particularly with Rollins. I think he faces... It's funny you say Brock. I think he faces Brock at Survivor Series. I think that match... I don't want to say goes like him and Cena last year. I don't think Brock's going to completely dismantle him. They won't do that to Sting. That's not right. But I could see Brock, you know, hitting the F5, you know, and something happens and he's outside. There's a run in somewhere, or maybe they do Taker Lightning or some crap. Sheamus runs in and just walks and just rolls in and steals the pin. Gets the pin on Sting off of Brock's F5. Something of that nature. But I have a feeling if Sting wins Sunday, he'll hold it at least to Survivor Series. That's what I think. I can't see him having we are talking about Sting. I can't see him doing a Hell in a Cell and a TLC match. That's. I think you're asking a little bit too much there. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I think happens. I think Sting wins Sunday, retains at Hell in a Cell, and he can kind of blind walk his way through a Hell in a Cell match. He's been in the Thunder Cage. he got electrocuted. Oh, no, wait, that was Abdullah the Butcher. Never mind. When the thing fell. It's one of my favorite bad camera shots of all time. Halloween Havoc 91. When Abdullah's sitting in the chair and you clearly see the lever fall, so Cactus has to put it back up only for him to do it again. So bad. One of my favorite shit camera shots of all time.
Oh, my God.
I
have a theory, too, with the finish in the main event and then going forward. I think Sting is going to walk out as the world heavyweight champion. Like I said before, there's two wild cards on Sunday, one of which is the obvious one being Sheamus, and the other wild card is on, I believe, October the 5th for Madison Square Garden, which is going to be the house show that they're going to be showing on the network.
Ah, good call.
What I think is going to happen is that Sting will walk out world heavyweight champion, no interference somehow. You know, he'll win. This is just me fantasy booking with stuff. You know, you never know what could happen. It's wrestling. Mm-hmm. What will happen is that Seth Rollins will say he doesn't want to wait until Hell in a Cell for his rematch. He wants his rematch in Madison Square Garden. It's when Sheamus will say, okay, well, I want to cash in, and I'm going to cash in at Madison Square Garden too. We'll have a triple threat match at the Garden, you know. Lesnar and Big Show, you know, that's supposed to be the big match for this show. You also got Owens and Jericho, I think. It's the Garden. Come on. Let's have a world title match. Let's have a world title change at the Garden, too. I think that Sheamus will walk out of the Garden as the world heavyweight champion. What I was saying before, too, why Rollins will hold on to the U.S. belt, this is where things are going to start getting interesting between him and Triple H, too. Sheamus will be the world heavyweight champion, whether or not he joins the Authority or whatever.
Right.
Rollins is still going to have that second fiddle belt, which is not going to be good enough for Triple H and the Authority. It's not, you know, the U.S. title is not as big as the world heavyweight title. Going forward at Hell in a Cell,
Maybe we'll get the Rollins and Sheamus rematch. Sting, you know, I'm kind of booking myself in the corner with stuff. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Sting going down the road, but maybe we get Sheamus and Rollins at Hell in a Cell. Sheamus holds on to it a little bit longer. And then maybe we'll get Sheamus and Brock at Survivor Series. I don't know, but I think a lot of this is also going to start teasing more of the Triple H and Rollins stuff going forward.
Okay.
And he doesn't need to have the belt.
Right.
Because obviously, well, hopefully Triple H wouldn't, you know, when they have their match, Triple H won't win and become World Heavyweight Champion. For, you know, well, I mean, for your sake, of course. But
new Halloween costume.
I'm with the majority here. Come on, like, you know, I hope. I really hope
I don't think that's happening.
Yeah.
No. All right. All right, guys. Great recap. So, if you have the network, $9.99. Night of Champions this Sunday in Houston. All right. Here is the first of – I talked at the beginning of the program about how we're going to kind of freshen up Main Event a little bit. It's a great show, 42 episodes worth of greatness, but time to, you know, it doesn't hurt to change things up. I mean, you know, they should change up Raw. It's been the same show for 500 years. So we're going to do a new thing called almost like a hit and run where my panel will get 2 minutes to vent on anything they want, unfiltered. There'll be no reach cutoffs. And Will won't be booking your own show for you. So, we will start with you, Mr. Milton, Godfather. You have 2 minutes.
All right.
When I say go, you will have 2 minutes, and then I will buzz you out. So, and then you guys, and then the rest of the panel. So, you have 2 minutes on whatever you want to say now.
Next month, wrestling journalists and media members will cast their ballots for the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. Now, this is no shade on the Observer or Dave Meltzer, who's a Hall of Famer in his own right, but one name that will probably remain outside of the Hall again is a man called Sting. You'll hear things tossed around like, he was good, but he wasn't great. He was a B-plus player. He was devalued in TNA, like you can be devalued in a fictional sport. But I would say, there's levels to this. Like Meek Mills would say, rest in peace to Meek Mills' career. Joe Montana is a Hall of Famer. Kurt Warner is a Hall of Famer. Joe Montana clearly better than Kurt Warner. So you can have levels to greatness. Sting is a Hall of Famer in my book. 30-year veteran. This is a very good wrestler. This is, by all accounts, a great man. This is a compelling character who was at the center of one of the biggest moments in wrestling history. This is a Hall of Famer. This is Sting.
Wow, and you left 58 seconds on the table.
I don't even need another time. I dropped the mic on this.
Damn! You know,
I didn't physically drop the mic because this is expensive, and I don't feel like paying for a new mic.
Right. You could have ended with Ron Simmons.
Oh, yeah. And if Sheamus beats Sting on cashes in and beats Sting, that's what I'll be saying on Sunday night. Damn.
All right.
Jason Greenhouse. Oh, heavens. Damn.
All right. Jason Greenhouse.
All right. I want to talk a little.
Right now.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about the wonderful people in the world known as wrestling fans. I've been a lifelong wrestling fan myself. The hardest thing to do as a wrestling fan is to be patient. There's a lot of fans out there right now who are very vocal, and they believe that they're entitled to everything right here and right now. One thing that people have to understand is that wrestling is not like a sitcom or like a drama on TV. There is no off season for wrestling, okay? Wrestling goes on all year round. There's a couple of TV shows such as Sons of Anarchy, The Sopranos, that would leave you with cliffhangers. The same thing with wrestling. You're not going to get everything you want in the same week. And people are going to go on and they're going to bitch about, you know, they want this to happen, they want that to happen. Okay, wrestling is supposed to be about surprises, just like what you watch on TV. Why do you want to have everything spoiled to you and find out what's going to happen? Let some stuff be a surprise. Some more about entitlements with wrestling fans, too, is the people still complaining about stuff not being on the network. For $10 a month, there is 3,500 hours worth of stuff on the network. People need to relax. There is a lot of wrestling content still not on there, but there is stuff that is on there that you need to watch.
And if you don't want to watch it, I don't know what to tell you. For $10 a month, people are not entitled to everything right away when they want to. Wrestling does not end. Wrestling is not going to end. People need to relax and just watch it from week to week. If you don't want to watch it and if you don't like what's going on, turn the channel. I saw people a few weeks ago complaining about the VMAs, okay? You know, if you don't like what you're seeing, turn the channel. There's other stuff on. If you're a wrestling fan, be a wrestling fan and just take what, you know, what you're watching. You don't have to like it, but stop complaining about it every week because they're not going to do what you want to do. They are going to book things for you.
Excellent. There you go. I could give you Nate's 58 seconds, but then that would totally.
I cede my 58 seconds to the representative.
Greeny, I like your jibe. I like both your guys' jibe. And, you know, I could go off about the wrestling of the WAN awards, but I agree with you. I agree with both you guys so far. Mr. Willie, you have 2 minutes now.
Greenhouse tags off to Steve, and I'm going to bring a little bit of what you can do because this is my yearly kind of diatribe on, hey, if you don't like Raw, it is post-SummerSlam. What else can you do? Well, this is probably one of the hottest times in terms of other wrestling right now. If you don't like what you're seeing, you just had Chikara King of Trios, which had an amazing match with AJ Styles and the Bucks versus Team AAA, the kind of the big guys from Lucha Underground, Phoenix, Drago, and I'm going to forget one. I think Aerostar was the other one. You had PWG, their big Battle of Los Angeles three-day tournament. You have the Ring of Honor pay-per-view tomorrow. You also have a lot of other indies that are doing well beyond out of Rhode Island. You have Evolve, which is Gabe Sapolsky's organization and supposedly going to be working with WWE in the future. You have AAW out of Chicago. There are tons of places to get good wrestling. And you know what? You have TNA, too. Possibly the last 3 months of the company on American TV. That could be something worth checking out for nostalgia purposes and just to see how they end up. Who are they going to push? There's tons of stuff to watch. Stop complaining. And if you have the time or you have a place near you, check out an indie show. Check it out live. It's probably the most enjoyable thing you will do, and it will reignite your passion for wrestling.
You left 26 seconds on the table.
All nothing, right. A little extra sleep tonight.
Yes. All right. That's my new exercise, boys. And for future main event participants, if you're listening to this, get yourself ready because you will be asked. You'll get 2 minutes to vent on anything you want. All three of your topics are very good. Great job. Particularly you, Nate, because it's Sting. Oh. It's Sting.
Yeah.
Hall
of Fame. Is he famous? Was he part of one of the biggest stories in the history of wrestling? Yeah.
Yeah. And Greeny, we could probably categorize about 15 people on the live chats that are pretty much who you mentioned. You talk
right,
about. So.
Right. And you know what? I'm just making a general statement. You know, it's not just, you know, in our live chats. It's stuff on Twitter. It's stuff, you know, I do a lot, you know, a lot of stuff for the for placetobenation.com on the side. You know, I go to like WWE's Facebook page and their Twitter page, and there's people just constantly bitching. If you don't like what you see, just stop watching. Okay, if you don't have any patience, right, then wrestling might not be for you then.
Yeah, seriously. Gentlemen.
Stay away from TNA's Twitter page if you don't like negativity.
<That's right. laughs> Armageddon show. All right. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. That'll do it for this edition of the main event. Not sure when our next episode will be because I may try to line it up again. I kind of went off script. We usually try to do it the same week as Kevin Kelly's show, but I wanted to kind of, when I rebooted, main event, I wanted to do it leading up to a pay-per-view. So not sure when the next main event will be. It might be in 2 weeks. It might be in 3 weeks. We'll see. But this was a blast. For the Godfather, Nate Milton, for Jason Greenhouse, for Steve Willie, Scott Criscolo, you've been in the main event, as has the man called Sting, and he will walk out WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Have a good 2 weeks. Shut up, Reesh. You came to me.
In a dream last night, you were standing.